now time for a very Penguin on a Train edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service to tell you which games to pass to a friend, which games to hit up that next level and get to that pyre. Actually, you know, you want to defend the pyre. So don't go up the train. We're here to talk about Monster Train 2. I am Corey. I'm joined by the man who never takes the duplicate card power up for some reason, Basher.
That's blasphemous. How dare you? It's my favorite power up in the game.
Yeah, it can kind of make or break some runs. Depending on if you can't do your champion, but every once in a while I get a card that's like not my champion, that's like better than my champion. So, but
you mean like most of them?
No, like you know, it depends.
In my opinion, anyway.
It depends. It depends on the whole thing. Monster Train 2, that's what we're here to talk about. It's the sequel to Monster Train. You might have heard about it before. But before that, if you were listening to this and maybe you played Monster Train 2, 574-651-9256. That is our phone number. You can send a text message. You can send a voicemail. You can call it right now. Like, Monster Train sucks, bro. And then we'll be like, well, you're just wrong. But that's fine, I guess. I don't know. If you're new, welcome. Welcome. We've got some new listeners according to our stats here. So if you found us somehow, for some odd reason, like our traffic on our website, like it's not like crazy, don't get me wrong or anything, but it's like doubled in the past like 2 months for some reason. I don't know. People like something that we're doing apparently. So
I wonder what game that would have been like to make them go like, they can also be, it's 2025. They could also just be hate listening.
Right.
Because it could be a bunch of those people who are just like that one guy.
Well, what's fun, like our most recent like review basically gave us 5 stars. And like, these guys talk about Xbox, but they're not fanboys, which is nice. And I'm like, I guess that's nice. But that's like the one guy that's just like,
it's also inaccurate because you are the fanboy here.
Again, there's a difference between fanboy and avid watcher. Okay.
You're pretty fam. All right.
Anyways, Monster Train 2, here are the details. Powerful beings known as Titans have seized control of heaven. A makeshift alliance is formed between former angels and demons who must learn to work together against their common foe. Now you must command these clans aboard newly forged trains and embark on your journey through hell, heaven, and the abyss to defeat the Titans before they destroy the world. Chaos awaits beyond the gates. Monster Train returns with all new clans, new enemy faction, new challenges, new modes, and more. Defend your pyre in the classic 3-tiered vertical gameplay that made the original roguelike deck builder a hit. This is available on Xbox Series X and S and PC. I thought it was weird it's not on Xbox One, because there's still quite a few people there, but I thought that was interesting. This is cross-save as well as cross-play. Not cross-play, what am I talking about? Optimized, that's what I'm looking for. Optimized for Series X and S. It does have cross-save as well. I've definitely like had this in a window on my PC at work, and then I'll come home and finish that run. So I can say it works pretty well. We got a how long to beat of 6 hours. Main and extras 31. There is currently no completionist time. That tells you anything. There is no average yet. Monster Train 2. Let's talk about it.
So I didn't know this game was coming out at all. Was this on your radar?
I knew it was coming out, but I did not know it was a Game Pass game. So this and Slay the Spire 2 are both this year, I believe. But Slay the Spire, I don't think even has a date yet, or it just hit like early access or something. Take a look here. But no, yes,
I would have been hyped for this. I mean, I literally had no idea this coming out.
Yeah. So Slay the Spire 2 just has a date of this year so far. So I knew both those were coming out simply because I was like, that's kind of funny, because I think it's fair to say Monster Train and Slay the Spire are by far like the best and the most popular of this type of card, sort of deck card builder game that doesn't, this is just straight up like card battle. This is not like a, you know, Crypt of the Gods or whatever that game's called, where it's like a third person action, you know, something like that. This is straight up just card battling. So,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of a game like this is kind of hard to talk about because you're assuming people played the first one. And so if you're coming in at that angle, it's pretty much more of the same yet different in all the best ways so far. Like, as you described, there's new classes, new abilities, new power-ups. Same old train, same old pyre, but how you get the, how you defend it, rather, how you get there is just completely just a lot of brand new tactics. So like going in, it almost felt like cliche, but it felt like home. It's like, okay, I'm back on the train, guys. Like I've never left.
Right. It's a sequel. Like when you used to get a new sequel, it's like, this is the same game, but new. You know, like Mega Man 2 is still Mega Man, just new levels. This is basically that. It's like, this is the same exact layout, but new cards, new classes, etc. So what I will find interesting is that cat, get off of me. Sorry. Yeah, that's what I'm going to find interesting, that there's a cat on me. It's like she did the thing where she like tried to jump on the chair and failed. So then to just like awkward and she's like hanging on. It's like a meme. I actually wasn't super in love with the first Monster Train, and you liked it a lot more than I did. So I'll be interested to see where we land on this one for that reason. But and if I remember, like it for me, it was sort of the treadmill. The treadmill can be pretty harsh, like. And I had this problem with Slay the Spire as well, but it didn't bother me as much in Slay the Spire, and I don't know why. It's like, okay, so you start with, let's say, the angels or whatever, and some of the cards that you basically need, like, you're going to have to grind for, like, 7 hours to get to it. And then you'll start, you know, you'll level the angels up to, like, level 6 or whatever. And then you can really kind of do some damage with that deck. And that just, like, really killed that first game for me in terms of I was still having a good time, but it might have just been when I picked it up or something like that. I was just like, I don't want to keep grinding on this game. Like, it's kind of annoying. And so I just wasn't as hot on it as you were, but, yeah. So that's how you feeling about Monster Train 2.
Well, I don't remember having that much of an issue with the grind. I didn't notice it quite a bit, but I don't remember being that, painful of a grind, although like it was there was a difficulty there that was akin to Slay the Spire, at least the first couple of runs. But I would say my initial thoughts, my initial feelings with this one is it feels like the main campaign is a lot easier, and I think they made it that way because there are a few other modes that they added that feels like it's for the Monster Train, like, professionals. Like, the main campaign is kind of to get a hold of the classes, understand how they work, see which ones you like working together the best. And then it almost wants to push you straight out to the endless modes, the challenge modes and things like that. Because that... I think I beat the Spire. I made it to the last, I completed a run with the Banished, the first class. I want to say on maybe my fourth run.
Interesting. So I actually didn't, I've completed a run, but I did the Dimension Portal first. And that was, so the Dimension Portals is like a challenge mode essentially, and they'll give you different mutators. And it's sort of like a, hey, figure this out. Like, this is your deck. And for instance, this one, it's like equipment was doubled, basically. So not equipment cards were doubled in terms of what they did, but they also didn't have a cost. So it became it's the exact same sort of game, I guess you could say. But it just sort of pushes you towards a different direction. But I think what it also does for me and where it clicked with me was like, it's making me pick cards that I wouldn't normally pick. And I think that's a trap that a lot of people can fall into with games like this. I know I do. It's like you try to find that one strategy, so then you just never do anything else, and you're too afraid to try new stuff because it's like, well, I'm halfway through this run, I'm doing all right, I'm not going to screw it up now, like, so I'm going to do the tried and true, and I'm going to go with that one kind of thing. So that was the first time that I was able to complete a run, and it's hooked me for sure. Like, I'm having a much better time with it, but I didn't play enough of that first one. And that's not true. Like, I actually have it up right here. I played the first one for 7 hours, whereas this one I already have 18 hours, it looks like. 14 hours in this one. So it's like, I've already doubled it, kind of thing. But so how much do you remember of that original game? Because, like, did you take in two different, like, clans or whatever in the first one?
Yes. Interesting. There was still a combo effect there where you could pick two clans, or yeah, your main guys, and then you have like your kind of your partner squad. So you can draft both of those clans at the same time. And I thought the game changes enough for me to where I'm pretty impressed by it, because I really thought it was going to be a case of, oh, I know my strategy, so I'm just going to keep doing that right over and over again. You know, like the Pyborn, I think it's called the Pyborn. Like they have the dragons, so the drakes, where essentially they have a class of character where it's basically like a fat little dragon, and he hoards eggs, and the more eggs you have, the more damage and health he has. And you max out your eggs at 8, and then you get the double strike, and then you get the endless, and then you get this. You just clone that dragon and you win the run. Like almost. Like it is almost that easy for me with the Pyborn. I tried that same thing with the Luna Coven, and it just wasn't working. Like there's something in the game where it really forces you to say, okay, this isn't going to work anymore. Or this clan does not work as well with this clan. Or if it does, it's not going to be the same way I thought it did.
Yeah, and there's... Yeah, it's interesting. Because that first game, too, it... what's the word I want to use? The way it was presented, and this might seem it's not even really a nitpick, but sort of like just the way that the game presents the cards, even though it looks very similar, even the way that like you start out the game, like when you go to, like when you're starting a run, it's just laid out a little bit better. And so like, I don't want to say like I'm understanding it more, but I'm definitely like, the ramp up to it for some odd reason just clicked with my brain a little bit more, even from like picking your pyre or like your, so was there different pyres in the first one? I don't remember that being a thing.
You unlock your, yes, you unlock different pyres, and the pyres have different effects. Okay. Yeah. That was in the game as well. But I think they expanded, like it seems pretty similar, but at the same time, they did something to streamline the process, like either that, or I guess kind of still have monster training the brain, right? Because when I booted it up, I'm like, okay, I'm good to go, like almost instantly. Like I saw the Pyborn, and I'm like, okay, I pick one of these two, the other one's the backup, and I'm pretty much good to go. I would go as far as to say that even like the card descriptors themselves seem a bit more simpler or on the nose, like they make more sense.
Yeah, there's something about it to where like when you hover over a card and like it'll say like summon or ascend or something like that, it's just clicking with my brain more. And it's probably one of those stupid ADHD things where like it's hitting my brain in a better way, that there's an accessibility or something that's just clicking with me more. For me, what it was though, I was able to unlock a lot of stuff right at the beginning, and it tells you what to do. Basically, like when you go and pick your pyre, it's like, hey, to get this one, you got to do this. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, that's what I'm going to do this run. I'm going to try to focus on this. And so it gave me a path of just learning the game quicker, I guess is the best way to say it. And it clicked with me the right way. So, and it's, for me, the presentation also is quite good. That first game looked really good, but this one, the graphics pop a little bit more. The one thing I noticed too is that this might seem small, but for some reason it's just like clicking with me, is like the UI and like the size of everything is just better. Like it flows a little bit better. Yeah. I can read things a little bit easier, and I don't know if it's just like the font that they chose, maybe. Like it's all those little things.
I agree. Yeah. Like it seems like a backhand compliment. It seems like a real video game now. Like before, it seemed like kind of like a mobile game that they made bigger.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, and I mean, it was on iPad. So
this seems like, oh no, we're making a PC game. We're making a game like, and like you're right. Like the aesthetic, although the same, just things pop a little bit more. I think a lot of the monsters look just wholesale better. Like there are some creatures here that are just kind of weird looking, kind of strange looking, just kind of gross looking. And I think that I'm enjoying that aspect as well. I mean, they definitely put some work into just making this more of a real game, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, and it's you're right. I guess it's I don't want to say like they put money into it, but like I guess it just feels more refined in a way that it's they're refining their craft, but it still very much works. Like I could totally see this working on an iPad though. Like it hasn't. Yeah, like absolutely. It hasn't like gone through like a change to where it's just like, oh man, like you need a mouse and keyboard or you need a controller now. Like, no, you really don't. It's still very much the same game. Like everything's kind of placed where everything should be, I guess you could say, like, or where it was, like, you know, the game speed and even where all the you know, your trinkets and stuff are. So yeah. So let's dive into a little bit more. We've gone over the good stuff. So what are you playing? What's your classes? What's your go to? What's your crazy stuff that's happened?
I don't even have a go-to. Like I the way I'm playing this game right now is I'm just going in order because I know I'm going to be playing this for quite a long time. Like this is gonna be the game I'm gonna keep going back to just for like in between like my work day.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
So like I'm definitely just trying to beat every single class, and I'm beating my head against the wall trying to do it in order. And that's super hard because when you unlock the other classes, you don't know what they do. So you have to play with them. But I just kind of refuse to do that. So like I'm just kind of strong arming my way through. Like I just beat a run with the Luna Coven, which was harder than I wanted it to be because I didn't feel the Luna Coven. I couldn't find the strat that worked well with the Pyburn or the Banished. So I ended up cooking up with the Under Legion, which is like the mushroom people.
That's fascinating because I cannot figure that class out. Like I know what it does, but I can't do anything with it. Like I constantly just get like destroyed.
Yeah, it's all about just
sacrificial, pretty much. Like
There is a part of that, but even that is just kind of like they're supposed to die. Like, it's like you have minions that are supposed to die, you know, and then you have like the bigger guys that just kind of hang back. So like you have to really control your fodder with that class, and that was hard. It was super hard to figure them out, but I found them working with the Luna Coven better than the Pyburn or the Banished.
Yeah, and so it's funny. I just Googled tier list for Monster Train 2. Number one, Under Legion. So it's an S tier. And the Luna Coven is A, and is Banished. Banished is kind of my go-to right now. I've definitely gotten the farthest with them. And they're basically angels, and they use Valor. They use the shift mechanic a lot. It's like every time you shift this person, they'll get like a buff here and a buff there kind of thing. But you can basically stack it to where like if you do one shift, since both of them are shifting, or sometimes you're doing a double shift kind of thing, you can do that in like the same turn essentially. And so you shift, and then all of a sudden like you've gained like all this, you know, damage in just one freaking turn, and you just roll them kind of thing. But it also can work against you in that if they get past that first floor and you're like, it's very hard to create multiple floors of just like death. Like I usually have like one floor. It's like if they get past that, I'm kind of screwed. So
no, absolutely. I ended up putting my hero on that first floor, and my strategy with all of them so far is for that first floor to inflict as much, not even damage. I feel like damage doesn't win the game for me at all, almost, except for the Pyborn. The Pyborn, they were pretty much heavy hitters. But each of the other clans, I feel like it's all about stacking the poison, the bleed, just these different effects, because by the time they get to that second level, they almost have nothing they can do against me. Like I think it's the Under Legion that has the sap feature. Like the sap feature essentially nullifies their attacks. It takes away their attack point. So by the time they get to that second or third level of the train, they still have zero attack power. So like that's the strategy I tend to use with everything if I can. Like, the Pyborn is the only one where I got some dragons that punch people in the face.
Yeah, I tend to not debuff or anything like that. I'm trying to think if I do. So my thing is I try to use the I can't think of the thing right now, but it basically uses like chip damage, and then it puts a it's a debuff, but it basically, like, it's not sap though, but it makes their attack weaker essentially, and it's usually like do one damage and it'll, and so when they
yep.
do their
weekend,
yeah, something like that. But for a while, what it is like you really need to get those units in the back, because what they do is they'll stack up their units where it's, you know, power in the front and the back is sort of your, because like the first game, it's whoever's in front attacks first kind of thing. So whoever's in the back will attack last. And so they'll do their people that will buff in the back. But if you take out that buff in the back, like it usually it doesn't cripple them by any means. But as long as you're playing okay, you're going to do a lot more damage if you just take them out in the back first. But like then there's certain times where if I don't pull those cards, it's like, okay, well now I have to be very careful because I'm probably not going to, like, because maybe the back unit is going to throw up a shield, like, and sometimes the shields are, it doesn't matter how strong you are, it's just a complete nullify of that first attack. So if I don't have, you know, double strike or anything like that, it's like, okay, like I can't even get to the third guy, because like the first guy's just blocking two of my attacks, and then they're gonna go up to the next floor, and then haste is the one that always screws with me because I'm just not paying attention, and haste, they basically go from floor one to floor three, and it's like, ah crap, like I usually don't have anything on the third floor that soon, and I'm like, okay, well I just screwed up kind of thing. So it's, yeah,
I always screw up a run every single time by not
really. Yeah.
Like because the bosses in this game, though, like before before you start the run, before the boss even shows up, the train will tell you this boss, every time you encant, it will put a shield on enemies, or it will put a sap on you, or this or that. And I never read that, and I will always 100% screw up a run because I will do all of my spells like I'm always doing, and then I'm like, wait, why do I have zero attack, and why are they right. like 17,000 hit points? Oh, because I didn't read anything.
But what I'll say is, though, like, you're not wrong, but at the same time, I guess where my issue with the game is that I don't know that my strategy ever really changes, or at least it's just not with the banished. Like, maybe what will change is where I put the unit in terms of like front or back, but most of the time it's like it doesn't really matter what their attack is or whatever their ability is, because like it doesn't change my approach, because I can't do much else. Like, all I can really do is power up, shift, and hope for the best for the most part. Like, yeah. And so, and I love the little penguin that you get, because he has a freaking saxophone. And when you put him on the field, he literally plays a little saxophone riff. And it's just like, that's the best thing ever about this game. We'll get to the music in a second. But yeah, it's, so I guess it's, I'm having, and maybe I'm just dumb, or maybe it just happens to be that's how it is with the banished, but it's like, I don't know that I'm changing my approach based upon the bosses.
Interesting. I mean, it definitely depends on who I'm playing as, because that sounds like the Pyborn to me. Like, they just big units that hit people in the face for me. Like, so, like, I don't really change my, but then again, after I complete a run with a duo with two clans, I just move on to the next two clans.
Sure.
So I don't really go back to really figure out the S class, like power up the best way to do things. I just kind of do my best to figure out things on my own, to the point where I know I'm hitting my head against the wall.
I will say
at this point, I do find myself changing tactics depending on the class.
So what do you know what level your classes are at? I'm just kind of curious.
I could check right now.
Because, like, for instance, like my banished and my Pyreborn are 10 and 7. So like those are by far my most, and that took a while. Like I said, it took a while to get those up. And my other ones are just not really that high. And I'm just more curious than anything.
So if I go to here, my banished is 7, Pyreborn is 6, Luna Coven 6. Under Legion is only 3, and then Lazarus is 1. I don't think we saw Lazarus.
I used Lazarus one time, and they're more of a like debuff and sap and decay. Like it's not poison, but it's along those lines of kind of thing. Right. So that's interesting. Yeah, it's. And you've got like double my time. You already got like 30 hours or something into this. So that is telling though, the fact that like I have about half the time and my banished is a couple levels up over you. So you're definitely hopping around a heck of a lot more than I am. That's just interesting. Yeah. So, as I go forward, I'm sure that's going to change, that's not happening yet, I guess.
I find that the classes are, to the game's credit, very different. Like they're in no way the same. And that's something I genuinely enjoy about these games. They put the effort into, my opinion, making each run with each class feel like you're doing something new.
Yeah, that's fair. And I I don't remember the first game. Like, and again, maybe just clicking with the right way, but I know the first one had like the Hellhorn and that one returns. I don't think I've used it yet, but there's something about the approach of the first game was just slightly different in that, and it might even just been like the treadmill of how fast you level up could have been. Like I said, that was a problem for me the first game. I just felt like I wasn't moving quick enough to actually be learning new things or doing new things. Where in this one, it feels like every time I level up, you get new trinkets that are available, but you also get new cards, and like those cards are usually like game changers. Like it's just like, oh crap, like. Yeah, it's they like, really okay, this are. Is, they and really it's, are. It's not like Exodia, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to win now, but it's like, this is a, I can implement this into the strategy I was already using, or I can sort of bounce these cards off of each other. And that's sort of like a double-edged sword because it's like, just give me all the cards, you know, like, let me have all the cards so I can do that because I don't want to have to grind through this tree, but it also forces me through this path of like, okay, I have to. I don't say I have to pay attention, but like I have to at least play this game a certain way until I don't, you know, until it gives me a new card. And so it's making me learn the game, which is probably by design. And I don't know if it's a flaw, but it's just definitely something I'm noticing. So
I will say one thing that I really, truly love about this game, and it's going to sound stupid, but the fact that I can restart a run quickly, instantly, like every single runner needs to have that option. Like it needs to be across the board. At any point in time, I could go, this isn't working, restart, and I'm right back at the
front. See, that's wild to me. I have not abandoned a single run in this game.
I will abandon a run, like, because it's one of those games where I don't. There are times where I'm just like, I'm not gonna beat this. I know I'm not gonna beat this. Like there are some bosses in this game that spawn so many enemies at a time, to where I'm like, I don't have enough champions to fight this off.
Interesting. Yeah, you're clearly playing on an advanced level, and I'm just here for the ride. I'm here for the train ride. So it's the bosses are the other thing, and I do get a. I do get a Slay the Spire vibe off this because it's like sometimes you'll get to a boss and you will just get rinsed. It's just like, yeah. I'm like, okay, like I got this, and like boom, boom, done. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't got this. Yeah. And again, but it comes back to, it's like, I don't know what I'm like. And then, but when I did my run that I finished it, I was like, I don't know that I did anything really different. Like it might've just been luck of the draw. Like I'm just not sure. But there's the one boss to where he has like a shield and he has like 50 of them, like literally. And you can't.
Yeah, that guy.
I've gotten to him a few times. Yeah. Annoying. And it's really with him, only thing I can really do is multi-strike on him. And that kind of takes care of it. Cause like you get his health down, but then he gets to 1 health and then he puts up that shield. And like it doesn't matter how much you hit him for. It's just you just need to hit him because you just have to get through that shield. And he's rinsed me a couple times. But since I've basically added a couple equipment cards to where I try to get multi-strike on basically everybody, and that's helped quite a bit with him kind of thing. So like I guess I am changing it up, but at the same time it's like, again, I'm not looking at a boss and be like, well, this, I need to take this approach. And again, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I don't think it has to be, because I did the same thing in Slay the Spire most of the time. I found a strategy that worked for me and just sort of went with it. So
I mean, which is fair. I mean, like find whatever works for you. I think the game allows you to do just that. Like for me, after getting through that initial that first class you kind of the first two classes you kind of unlock, I really started relying on the more of the passives in attacking. So like all the sort of the poisons and the weakens and stuff like that, because anytime I get to a shield or spikes or stuff like that, I know I'm in for a pretty rough
ride. spikes are always messing me up. Like it's a fairly simple, you know, it's basically no matter what, when you attack, you're going to take some damage, but I will say that's the one time when I look at my units and because I do a lot of shifting with the Banished, like I'm like, okay, I'm going to shift this guy first, attack, then shift this guy. Like it's, for whatever reason, spikes are the one that I feel like I can get a handle on, and I do my best to try to stay in front of it, but I don't know how successful I really am at it, kind of thing. But it's interesting that it's clicking for me in a way that the first one didn't. And honestly, I could probably go back. I should go back and play the first one just to see if it clicks with me again and maybe figure that out or why it wasn't clicking with me. Because it's like, since we already said, like, it's kind of the same game. So like it's really, this isn't like a, you know, a Gears 1 to Gears 2 situation where it's like, oh my God, everything is better. Like it moves better. It feels right, better. Right. Like, you know, enemy variety is better. It's like, no, like they're kind of just, it's a new deck, you know, it's a new set of cards really, that more than anything. So technically I probably have another game I can go back to. Yeah, so.
It's a heck of an improvement, because I mean, as we talk it out, like it's still hard for me to put my finger on what they did to make essentially the same game, but a lot better. Not that the other game was a lot worse, but rather that it's clearly a handful of great ideas that they executed greatly on. Whereas this one, they added more ideas to it. There's more complexity, more classes, and it still works pretty well.
Yeah, it also just kind of feels like it's play tested. You know, like they've really play tested this to where they've figured out a lot of I don't say strategies, but it's fun. You know, like they've clearly play tested this so that the ramp up and the journey that you go on, like it's got a nice pace to it. You might get frustrated with some things here or there, but like you said, there's also you're going to find something that clicks with you. Like I said, it's interesting that you like the Under Legion. It's like, I've done like four runs with them. I'm like, I just can't, like, I get it. Like I need to buff my champion, and I got to use these little mushrooms, but then you can like stack the mushrooms on top of each other, it seems like. And like, that will like buff them.
They stack themselves.
But it's like, but why would I want to do that if I want them to die, kind of thing? So like it's, yeah,
I screwed up a lot of runs with that mushroom, because there's another class of mushroom where it's supposed to get hit, because the more it gets hit, the more, I forgot what the name of the damage is called, but I think it's blight or poison, something like that. And I get these trinkets because there's always something you get in this game that helps or breaks your run. So you get these trinkets that are other kinds of buffs for you. And I'll get a trinket or some sort of card or some sort of effect, whereas like it spawns mushrooms all of the time. I'm like, oh no, now it's not hitting the mushroom I want to hit.
I definitely noticed that there's definitely cards, and that it seems like that class like is cut directly in half of like, these you want to get hit, these you don't. Like, you want to protect these because they're going to buff you, but you want these ones to die because they'll buff you. Like, it's not, it's an interesting class. And again, it might just be I need to level up with it and something will click, kind of thing. If I remember correctly, I feel like we did this on Slay the Spire as well, because like, you hated the poison one, right? Like and I was like, that was the best one. Like, that was easily like my favorite one. Like,
we had a switch on that one too, where like it took me a while to figure out, oh, okay, if I do this, then they work. Yeah, Slay the Spire was a little annoying, because it was very obvious when I was going to win or run.
Yeah,
you know, like, because I had this setup, whereas Monster Train 2 is a bit more of a gamble. Like, I'm getting fairly deep thinking, I got this. I'm like, oh, I don't? Like,
It comes down to those bosses. Like, I've definitely gotten to a Titan and it just like bodies me, and I'm just like, I don't even know what happened, kind of thing. Like, I don't even know, like, and I'm probably going to stick in that little challenge mode for a while, because honestly, I think that's pretty fun, and it just sort of kind of changes things up. But it's got me hooked, similar to Slay the Spire. I don't know if I like it more than Slay the Spire. I think Slay the Spire is a little bit more my pace, but at the same time, it's so like, how long are your runs though, too? That's what I noticed too. It's just like, man, like, I feel like a run, I'm like, oh, it's gonna be like 20 minutes. It's like, oh, dude, it's been an hour. Like, holy crap. Like,
no, I think they are longer runs, but I think they just feel that way though. If that makes sense.
See, well,
I don't think that
it feels opposite to me, to where I felt Slay the Spire. Like, if I got to the third tier or the third level, whatever, it's like, okay, I know I've been playing for like 40 minutes kind of thing. And by the end of that game, like, right, I was definitely, because by the end, like, you're kind of going for, you know, there's like the, you got to find this boss. And then, so you got to do that to get this gem. And then you gotta get, like, so like you have a path. And so like, sometimes if I couldn't get the right path or the right, whatever, like I'd reset my run kind of thing. But yeah, like those are typically about an hour and a half. Like, if you go through a full run, like, yeah, it was pretty long. Like, but it's just, I'm curious kind of thing. I said, God, your play time is 35 hours. This has only been out like a week.
Okay. You know how I do. I'll put a game on and then go to work.
Sure.
Not turn off the Xbox.
It turns off itself. Quick resume. What are you doing? The future is now.
I play my PlayStation. I don't know anything about an Xbox.
Yeah. Well, did you know the PlayStation? Everything's an Xbox. Your PlayStation is an Xbox.
I forgot. How could I ever forget? My phone's
you
an
didn't
Xbox.
Know. Yeah, you didn't know. You just had no idea. So the other part is, too, is does the music of this game just like go hard, or am I crazy?
What I love about the music on top of it being just so good, what I love about it is when you enter the train, it tells you a song. Right.
It's got a little, yeah.
More games should do that.
Yeah, it's like a freaking jukebox almost. Like, it's just like, or a music video.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah, like I have to say, like, gaming overall has its issues, especially in the AAA space. We can all point to a lot of things that are on downward trend. We can all bah humbug about things, but there's a side of gaming that is extremely bright, and I gotta say, across the board, even like mid games, the music in these games are just kind of slamming. I have to give the industry credit in just terms of that. Like, people are well aware of just sitting on the screen music. I mean, It's
funny because, yeah, well, eventually we'll talk about Doom, and I've got some thoughts about the music of that game kind of thing. So, but yeah, so the only last question I have is, which pyre are you using? Because there's one that I'm very partial to, and I'm curious which one that you.
I always and only use the one where it gives me the option to duplicate cards from the store.
Interesting. Okay. So I use the one where all the drafted cards have an upgrade. So like I'm always getting a buff of some kind. Yeah. Man. Like that one. That's a good one. Too. So it's got a lower health and attack, I think. It's a little bit lower. But that's kind of my go-to of just like it.
I'm okay for lower health pyre because you're not supposed to get
right.
That anyway.
That's kind of where I'm at with them. Like, if you're getting this far, like I'm not doing my part. I need to be better at whatever kind of thing. So, but yeah, so I think it's fair to say we're big fans of this one. No surprise. I think anybody that's played it, like that first game, like I said, didn't hit for me, but I understood it. It was quite good. You know, you couldn't really. There wasn't a lot wrong with it, but it's just like you just could not. You could not, you know, it's like Slay the Spire. Like, even if you don't like Slay the Spire, it's like, yeah, but that's okay. Like, it's just not, everyone's got a wrong opinion. So that's just how it is. So
that's where I'm at with this. Okay.
I didn't love that first game, but like, if you think Slay the Spire is a badly like designed video game,
You should stop playing video games.
Yeah, we should talk. So yeah. Monster Train 2, play it, have a good time, dump 86,000 hours into it. And I'm curious. So
have.
I will say, like, the story, are like, yeah, is like, anytime there's a cutscene, like, I am typically that person that's like, cutscenes, I'm watching them. I do not care, like, in the freaking slightest. Like, yeah, like,
I'm the complete opposite. Cutscenes do not do it for me anymore. If it's not a Kojima production, I'm not watching your cutscene. Like, like, too many video games have, he's been talking bad about video games now. Video games have not gotten to the point where they tell stories well. Like, they want to be movies so bad, but they're not. They're really terrible at it. So I skip a lot of cutscenes, but this one included, because I don't think I need a story to go through a train. Like, it's fine.
Well, and it's, and again, it's funny. Like, again, we'll talk about Doom. It's, you're totally right in that. But I also think about, like, Expedition 33. Like, I really cared about that story, you know, kind of thing. And I watched every cutscene with intense, you know, just like, I want to know what's going on. And it's
I guess teared up.
Yeah, again, like, Roman tears with that game. Like, truly, it's just, there's a way about it. But it's, I feel like we've reached this point, and, like, Naughty Dog figured this out a while ago, right? Like, if you tell a compelling story, like, people will pay attention. Whereas if you're not, you know, storytelling is a real thing. Like, it's not, you can't just do it. And there's many games that have proven it. But this is one, it's like, yeah, like, you really didn't need to do that. Like, you really, like, it doesn't hurt the game for me, but it's like, come on, like, it's like that meme where it's like, when you have endless wings, it's like, and they ask, like, you know, what do you want off the menu? It's like, you know why I'm here. Like it is Tuesday. It is 50 cent bone in wing. Like, what? No, I'm not here for the burger. Okay. Like,
you know what the issue is? They're like, all of these runners now, they're trying to do the Hades thing.
Yeah.
You complete a run, you get a piece of the story. You complete the run, you get a piece of the story. They need, like, one of these games needs to change that, because you're not going to beat Hades at that. So instead, tell a story during the run, you know, like, that way I can't turn away, or have it be woven into the gameplay some type of way. Like, don't just copy Hades with a lackluster story that I don't.
Yeah, and that's
about.
And it's gonna be interesting, because Hades 2 is technically out in early access, and it's one of those, like, I bought it and then I played it twice and I was like, I'm gonna wait for 1.0, and I'm curious how they do it, because I wonder if that will hold up, that sort of, like, I won't say, like, you know, piecemealing, but that was like a brilliant sort of move of just like, how do you get people to care about a story in a roguelike game? Because the point of it is to get to the end. So, like, once they get to the end, what do you do? And it's like, well, then just give them a little bit. Like, it's such a duh answer, but nobody figured it out. Like, and then they did. And it's like, oh, right. Like, that makes perfect sense, actually. So I'm curious how that goes. But yeah, this isn't it, guys. Like, I don't care about your story in Monster Train. Like, so, sorry don't. To, yeah, sorry guys. To break it to you, I guess. So Monster Train 2, play it, have some fun with it. Man, so I just got to say before we log off here, like, Game Pass this year, man, like, it's something special. Like, so we just got Metaphor ReFantasia just dropped. We got Monster Train 2, Doom the Dark Ages, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Expedition 33, Oblivion, Crime Scene Cleaner, Grand Theft Auto 5. Like, it is just,
I got a little tiny, huge, ridiculous beef with that. Before Metaphor came out, I remember having a conversation with you saying, this is coming out on Game Pass, right? And it's like, no, that was never announced. Am I making that up?
No. So it...
Didn't you tell me that was not coming
out on
Game Pass?
It didn't release on... It wasn't a day one on Game Pass. So there was a lot of... Because they announced the Persona games were coming to Game Pass at the same time that they, like, for the first time announced, like, unveiled Metaphor. So there was people like, oh, this is coming to Game Pass. Like, no, it's not coming to Game Pass. So it was never announced. And actually, a lot of people are surprised, because this game is not that old. It's only about 6 months old. But yeah, it was a surprise drop. Nobody knew this was coming.
Really? I could have sworn. Like, and it's not just me. Like, me and another buddy of mine both said, oh, I can't wait for this to come out on Game Pass. Then it didn't come out on Game Pass. We're like, wait, it's not coming out on Game Pass?
Yeah, it's...
And then it does. So I swear there was some sort of like image released and it's just scrubbed from the internet.
It's that stupid thing where Microsoft does, and they do the same thing with the word exclusive. And they used to do this thing where like, this is exclusive to Xbox. It's like, but what that means is that it's just not coming to PlayStation right now. Like that's really all that means. Or right. It has exclusive content or something like that. Yeah. So it was, I understand why people got confused because, and they also do that thing where they had that 1 year at E3 where they were, or not E3, sorry, Summer Games Fest, where they're just like, everything you see today will be on Game Pass. And then the next year they don't do that.
Yeah. Right?
And
it was that like,
and then the next year they didn't do that. And so it was just, it's very easy to get confused. Although I will say like they've actually been significantly better about that the past, like Microsoft shows the past couple of years have been bangers kind of thing. So it's interesting, but yeah, it's Game Pass this year is just on fire. Like it's, you know, we got the Outer Worlds 2 still coming. Ninja Gaiden 4 is still coming. Ninja Gaiden 2 Black came out this year on it. Against the Storm technically came out on this. The Tony Hawk game is coming. Like, it's just, it is just firing. And that's a, supposedly Hollow Knight Silksong is coming to it as well. Like, it's wild.
I was never a Hollow Knight guy, but I'm excited for other people.
I like that first game. I'm not like, you know, it's not Ori level for me kind of thing. I will play it. I'll be excited to play it, but it's wild. So, and then, yeah, obviously the Division 2, cause you know, that's, you gotta play that, you know, that's.
I kind of,
they have
want
that
to.
New, that, yeah, they have that new DLC and it's, I'd be very curious to see how that game plays now, compared to when it kind of came out kind of thing, just because I actually, the Division was like my loot shooter of that era, I guess, whatever.
It could have been good.
It is the closest that Ubisoft has ever gotten to making a game that I truly care about. Like that's the best thing I can say about it. But in typical fashion, they also kind of screwed it up. So, you know, it just, yeah, it's, yeah. So, but all right, that's going to do this episode of Game Pass. When it comes to the future, we will be talking about Metaphor, but it will not be for a little while for various reasons. But that we're going to be playing that. Doom the Dark Ages, we're almost ready to go on that one.
I'll get to it.
We're going to talk about that. And then Spray Paint Simulator came out. I'm playing that right now. So you've got a couple games that we might do some dual episodes on. But yeah, we got some games to play. Like that's the best way I can say it. And that's a good problem to have.
It's about dang time.
And then so next week is Microsoft's summer showcase already. So they're going to be doing a big showcase on the Outer Worlds 2. But I'm genuinely curious what Microsoft's got this year, because I wonder if they're going to do a lot of first party stuff, but we kind of already know all their first party stuff, like Perfect Dark. Are we going to see that again? Gears E-Day.
I hope not.
Gears E-Day is coming next year. So, and then we've got Fable next year. So what's like, is Playground also making a Forza Horizon? I don't know, but we just got id with Doom the Dark Ages, Starfield. We got, so like it's time for some of their teams, but then also a lot of their teams are not ready. And so it's going to be a very interesting show this year. So well, I'm sure we'll do some reactions about that. But all right, that's gonna do this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with a game.
Good day, sirs.